T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health Clinic. Northeast Men's Health has 2 locations, with one in Denham next to Legacy Place and another in Salem, New Hampshire. Online at northeastmenshealth.com.
This is WEEI Late Night with Nick Cattles.
3-0 is smashed toward the monster in left. Is it high enough? It is. Out of here at Fenway, and Pete Alonso goes yard, and the Mets lead it 4-0.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Mets.
1-2 is hammered into the gap in right center field. It's a long run for Verdugo. He won't get it, and it's into the bullpen, a home run. 3-run blast for Dom Smith. It's 7-0 Mets.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Hi, this is Late Night with Nick Cattles. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. And man, I'll tell you, watching another Red Sox game, it is getting painful. It is getting painful. And I was listening to the post game with Will Fleming, and I understand that Will wants to be a glass half full kind of guy. He's taking the glass half full approach. I find it very hard to take a glass half full approach with this Red Sox team right now. How can you possibly look at this and say glass is half full with this pitching staff? Now, I'm listening to the game on ESPN earlier in the night, and it's like the 5th or 6th inning, and we have Tim Kirkchin on ESPN telling us already that this is a rebuild. This is a rebuilding situation, that the Red Sox will not admit it, but this is a rebuilding situation. This is where the team is right now. And when you're watching, you don't have to be a baseball expert to understand what the problem is. I mean, I watch the team, you watch the team. My guy Josh back at the studio watches the team, and we all see the same thing. This pitching is not good enough. And there is nothing that kills a team more than bad starting pitching. When you go to the ballpark and you feel deep in your soul that the pitching is not going to be good enough before you even start the game, it's a terrible feeling. And that's where we are at with this Red Sox team. I mean, Josh Osich, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. It really isn't. I mean, Josh Osich is not the kind of guy, whether you try to name him an opener, a reliever trying to start, whatever you want to classify him as, it's not his fault, because he's just not good enough. Jeffrey Springs, just not good enough. When the team is pulling people off the scrap heap that have ERAs better than 7 and 9 and 10, the pitching is just not going to be good enough. I mean, I will give credit to Zach Godley tonight. If there is one silver lining in this game, it is Godley. 4 innings, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Ron Renicke in the post game saying that Godley might actually get a start. And why not? Why not, Captain Ron? And Captain Ron, it is time to give Godley a start. You want to know why? Because it can't get worse than it's been the last 3 games. And if it does get worse, I might end up pitching for the Red Sox at some point. Of course Godley earned a start tonight. Why wouldn't he? I mean, he was the best thing about this entire game. And the bad pitching over and over and over, it just kills this team's life. And if you think that I'm being hyperbolic, if you think I'm being overreactionary or overdramatic, and I don't think you are, you can let me know. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Again, it's 617-779-7937. If you think I'm being overdramatic and overreactionary, I'm not. You know, this is the first time since 1901. I'll say it again. This is the first time since 1901 that this baseball team has allowed 7-plus runs in 3 of their first 4 games. What you're witnessing from this pitching staff, quite frankly, has not been done in 119 years. In the history of baseball, it's very difficult to do something for the first time in 119 years, but yet, here we are. We're 4 games into the season. The Red Sox are 1-3, and they have accomplished something that they certainly did not want to accomplish, but they have accomplished something for the first time since 1901. And I don't know where you go with this pitching staff. I have no idea where you go with this. Nathan Eovaldi was great opening night. I was sitting here with Andy Hart on Saturday morning. We felt good talking about a 3-game win streak because, of course, every game this year counts as, what, 2.7 games? A 3-game winning streak. We're all having fun. We're smiles. Eovaldi was great. He was sharp. His command was there. His velocity was there. His snap on the breaking ball and the slider was there. He was excellent on Friday night. And on Saturday morning when I'm talking with Andy, I'm sitting there and saying to myself, and I'm saying to Andy, well, you know, it's tough to just get too pumped up about this game by Eovaldi because he's pitching against the Orioles. I mean, the Orioles don't have a great lineup. They have Jose Iglesias hitting third. That's what I said. I said that they have Jose Iglesias hitting third in that lineup. And when you have Iglesias hitting third in a lineup, you know how bad that lineup is. And then we see what Iglesias did in games 2 and 3 of that series and what that Orioles lineup did in games 2 and 3. And we walk in tonight to watch Alonso hit bombs. Pitching staff just isn't good enough. And maybe, just maybe, maybe there's some hope. Maybe somebody is actually available now who was not available 2 hours ago that could help this Red Sox pitching staff. Now, if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the big leagues tonight, it wasn't that great for the Braves. Mike Foltynewicz, he was DFA'd by the Braves tonight. And this is a guy, you know, Foltynewicz, if you don't know much about him, funky delivery, usually hits 95 on the gun. This is a former All-Star, folks, and he was DFA'd tonight. And we're not talking about a former All-Star from a decade ago. He was an All-Star 2 years ago, just 2 years ago. And you look back at last season, his last 10 starts for Atlanta, he went 6-1 with a 2.65 ERA. This is somebody who recently, in his last 10 starts of 2019, was 6-1 with an ERA of 2.65. In 2018, he was 13-10 with an ERA under 3. And you're looking at somebody now who's been DFA'd. He's 28 years old, first-round pick in 2010. So he does have the resume to a point. He still has one arbitration year left on his contract situation. So he would be an unrestricted free agent in 2022. So this is the perfect guy, I think. And, of course, it depends on price. But this is the perfect example of somebody who has been made available in this 60-game season. The Braves have written him off. They've given up on him. This is the kind of situation that Chaim Bloom needs to just jump on in, parachute into, pick up the phone, and give the Braves a call and say, we want Mike Foltynewicz. He might not be as good as he was 2 years ago. He might not even be as good as what he was in his last 10 starts last season going 6-1. But you know what? I feel pretty confident that Foltynewicz would be better than anything the Red Sox have at this point other than Nathan Eovaldi in that starting rotation. Martin Perez? You buying that? Ryan Weber? Maybe. As a fourth or fifth guy? Maybe. Foltynewicz is better than anything this team has right now outside of Eovaldi. And that speaks volumes. And he's only 28 years old. And he's had this recent history of success in the big leagues. It makes all the sense in the world for Bloom to make a phone call. These are the kinds of guys that you look at. You can bring in the Godleys. You can bring in everybody else, the Stocks. You can go out and get all of these other pitchers all you want. But what you need is somebody who you can at least depend on to give you some innings. I mean, he might not be lights out. He might not even be as good as Eovaldi. He might end up being somebody who's more of a third or fourth starter in the big leagues right now, but he's better than what you have. So why is he getting DFA'd? Well, if you look at his story, he was demoted to the minors last June. He rebounded really well. He was, again, crushed tonight by the Rays. And the biggest concern with Foltynewicz right now is his velocity. This is a guy who would throw 95 miles an hour on the regular, and he's struggling to hit 90 on the gun. So when somebody goes from 95 to 90, you might have some issues. But the Red Sox have nothing to lose. Hopefully Bloom makes a phone call. 617-779-7937. You can text in as well at 37937. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI with Nick Cattles. Glad that you can join me tonight. And, you know, this team, another thing I was thinking about while watching this game, aside from the bad pitching to begin yet again, this team is lucky that there are no fans at Fenway Park right now. Think about what the atmosphere would be if there were actually fans in the stands. Now, I'm going to guess that if there were fans allowed into Fenway, we're not talking about a sellout right now. Not the way this team is pitching. I would not expect any kind of sellout in any kind of way. But could you imagine for the thousands of people that were actually in attendance, if they were sitting there in Fenway Park, could you imagine the kind of reaction that this pitching staff would be receiving from Boston fans? Could you imagine what we would be screaming in Fenway Park at these poor souls? Because, again, this is not really on them. I mean, they are who they are. When you go out and you pick up a Jag, just another guy, that Jag is going to be a Jag. It's the reason why he's been called a Jag. You don't expect him to light up the world. Maybe you find the lottery ticket. Steven Wright back in 2016, you didn't expect the world from him. Lottery ticket. Scratched it, hit it, got your money, you felt good about it. But what happens with most lottery tickets? You scratch it, you get nothing. You get skaroosh. And you end up throwing that lottery ticket in the garbage, hoping that you find one that will actually pay off for you in the long run. So when you look at this rotation and what's been thrown out there, you can only imagine what kind of reaction that this pitching staff would be receiving from the quote-unquote Fenway faithful. This team is lucky there are no fans. Which brings me to my next point. Now, I was watching the game tonight, and I remember speaking with Andy Hart on Saturday morning this past weekend, speaking with him and having the show, and we're talking about the virtual fans on Fox, and we're talking about the piped-in video game noise for the fans. And my one wish was that we would not get cheering for something ridiculous. We wouldn't get the just random cheering in a blowout game because it would just come across as weird, right? We got some of that tonight. I don't know how many people were listening intently when Heath Embry was in this game, but he strikes out Alonso. And when he strikes him out, we get the crowd cheering. Like this was the biggest strikeout of all the times. Like this was game 7 of a World Series. And I don't know how you feel about all that, but I got to tell you, man, when I'm watching a game and my team is getting kicked in the junk and the pitching staff is once again not getting the job done, I don't want to hear video game cheering of Heath Embry's strike out late in the game. I mean, I really don't need the crowd goes wild kind of moment. I don't necessarily need Sweet Caroline when there's no fans in the stands. I get they're trying to bring back something to the players, make them feel like they're part of something familiar. But it just kind of rubs me the wrong way in the middle of an empty stadium getting beat down and having Sweet Caroline echoing in the silence of Fenway Park. It's just kind of a very, very strange thing. And when you look at what's coming up for this team, I wish I could feel like Will Fleming felt tonight in the postgame. I wish I could tell all of you listening to me right now that I had a glass half full approach. I really wish I could. But you know what stops me from having that glass half full approach aside from the pitching? Look who's coming up on the schedule. I mean, the Sox still have to finish up with the Mets here. No easy task. Then they have the Yankees, and then they have the Rays. That is a murderer's row, especially when you have a rotation like this. So, no, my glass is not half full. I wish I could report to you that it was, but it is certainly not. How's your glass? Is it half full or is it half empty? 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. And hey, I guess we might want to feel good here on Late Night with Nick Cattles about even having baseball. You know, if we do want to have some kind of a good vibe today, it's the fact that there was a game that was played and that we're still able to watch one of the big four in this country play games that actually mean something. Because earlier today, man, baseball, it was all about chaos. The Miami Marlins get 13 positive tests back, just an astounding number. And the idea that the Marlins actually decided to play against the Phillies yesterday, even though they knew they had multiple guys testing positive for COVID-19, that's ridiculous. That is outrageous. I have no idea how baseball could allow that to happen. I'm reading stories about the Miami Marlins players in a group text trying to decide whether or not they're going to play. A group text? A group text? That's what we're actually going to do in 2020? We're going to utilize during a global pandemic a group text to try to figure out whether or not you're going to play in that game? Did anybody tell Philadelphia? Did anybody tell the Phillies? Were there any players from Philadelphia that were represented in this group text? It was a very, very tough day for baseball. The Marlins and Orioles game gets canceled. The Yankees and Phillies game gets canceled. White Sox manager Rick Renteria, he's away from the team. He's not feeling well. He's been tested. And the logistics of baseball during a pandemic, very, very challenging. Very challenging. I mean, you're going from city to city, traveling, spending time in hotels. You've got to trust all these players that they do the right thing. The Red Sox, they've been home so far. They've been home. And the comforts of home mean an awful lot during this time. It's when these guys get on the road. What are they going to do? What do they decide? Can they be trusted? Will they do the right thing? Will they be responsible? Will they pull a Lou Williams like the NBA? Yeah, I know he was just trying the wings. He just wanted the wings. He loved the Magic City wings. But you don't go to a strip club in the middle of a global pandemic when you get an excused absence to go to a funeral before you go back to the bubble for the NBA. That's not really what you want to do. So all of these questions are going to linger, and they're going to hover above Major League Baseball and hover above the Sox for the next month or two. It's like a big dark cloud. So thankfully, we did have baseball tonight at Fenway. I just wish it was a better product. I just wish that we saw better pitching. I just wish that Andrew Benintendi would play better. I just wish that Benny would be better at the plate. I mean, he's having some major, major issues. He's having some major issues. And he's not the only one. I'm not going to press the panic button on Rafael Devers because, you know, he was so good last year. But there are some issues here. I mean, Benintendi, he gets up there, first plate appearance, bunts for a hit. And you're saying to yourself, okay, well, maybe this will get him going, right? Maybe that'll get him going. It's like when an NBA player lays the ball in after he's been struggling for a quarter and a half. He sees the basketball go in, and he finally gets into a groove, and he starts making some shots. You would hope that that Benintendi bunt would have been the start of something, but no, it was the start of a 0-for-3 rest of the night. And that's not what Benintendi needed, needless to say. I mean, third inning, that at-bat in the third inning is what Benintendi's been doing a lot this season. Just not a good at-bat. Not even competitive. Three-pitch strikeout. Change up, down, and away. Guys on first and second with no outs. I mean, we have to go into this season thinking Benintendi is going to be better than he was last year. We have to go into the season feeling like finally he'll maybe meet the expectations. He doesn't have to exceed them, but maybe he'll meet the expectations. But in that bat like that, in the third inning, you got guys on first and second, and you're up there for three pitches, and you go down swinging at a changeup down and away. I mean, decent pitch, especially being up 0-2 by Waka, but come on now. I mean, those kinds of at-bats. So I'm trying to find some glimmers of hope. I mean, Mitch Moreland hit a bomb. That was nice. Xander Bogaerts went oppo with a bomb. You know, those are all good things. And again, Zach Godley was effective tonight. He was probably the best aspect of this game. 4 innings, 7 Ks, no runs, 4 hits, no walks. I mean, he's the best aspect of this game, if you ask me. Let's get your thoughts. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can also follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. We'll talk Red Sox with you. Also, I want to get into some Patriots. There was a report earlier today that I think could change some of our thoughts about this Patriots offense. That and more coming up next. It's Late Night, Nick Cattle, Sports Radio, WEEI.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
As the big voice guy just said, here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox lost their third straight game tonight at Fenway, 7-4 against the Mets. Josh Osich took the loss after pitching two full innings. Red Sox will play Game 2 against New York tomorrow. Joe Castig, Will Fleming on the call, pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7:30. You can hear it here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. In other Major League Baseball news, the Braves have DFA'd starting pitcher Mike Foltynewicz. Foltynewicz was roughed up by the Rays earlier tonight. Patriots fullback Dan Vitale has opted out of the 2020 NFL season, and the Celtics will play their third scrimmage against the Rockets at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Late Night, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Cattles here with you. Up until about midnight. Telephone number 617-779-7937. You can tweet at me as well, at Nick C Radio, talking about this Red Sox pitching staff and how bad it's been. I do want to get to the Patriots in a little while, but we still have a lot to digest with this Red Sox game. T. McBride Jr. at Nick C Radio. Flush the opener concept. You want Godley to throw the most innings? Let him go the first five or six, and you might have one. Yeah, I mean, tonight, yes. I mean, Godley was very, very good. I won't make the pun that is so obvious to everybody listening. But Godley was very, very good tonight. He was really the bright spot. Four innings, four hits, no runs, no walks, seven Ks. But honestly, it's tough to feel good about the bright spot after, again, you're starting pitching, opening pitching, whatever the blue hell we want to call it. Starting the game the way this pitching staff continues to start the game, it's really tough to feel good about any kind of silver lining. It's tough to find the silver lining when you're down 4-0, 6-0, 7-0. You're looking up and you're saying, my goodness, we're getting crushed again. And that does, it sucks the life out of a baseball team. And before I get to your phone calls again at 617-779-7937, before I get to your phone calls, Xander Bogaerts in the postgame, apparently, and I'm going to listen to this for the first time like you are, Xander was not holding back in the postgame when talking about the pitching staff.
Yeah, it's rough, bro, to be honest. You know, it's tough. It's tough, you know. Obviously, it's not just like one run, you know. It's a couple runs, and then they just find a way to add on some more before we can kind of get something going, you know. And they kind of separated pretty quick by a couple of runs, and it gets tough, you know.
Does that make it tougher on you guys offensively? Does your mindset change when you're down kind of by four or five or six or seven as it was tonight, rather than just one or two, or maybe guys start pressing?
I mean, yeah, we were down, I think it was 7-0, right? And we just kind of chip, you know. And this is showing the offense that we have, you know. We got guys that haven't been swinging the way we know we can. That's going to change because this team is just built so good offensively. And we proved that we can come back, you know. We're capable of doing that. But just, I mean, if you got to score 8, 9, 10 runs every game, I think it, honestly, it's a little tough.
So, there's Xander, and he's giving us a refreshingly honest breakdown. As I said to start this show tonight, when you are a position player and you go into a game feeling that it's only inevitable you're going to look up at the scoreboard and be down a freaking touchdown, it starts to wear on you. I mean, listen to Xander, right? I mean, you can hear it in his voice. You can hear the frustration. You can hear it. Listen, we got a lineup. We got a lineup that could score 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 runs. But if you got to keep chipping away while your starting rotation can't figure it out, while your openers, quote unquote, can't figure it out, while some of the people in your bullpen cannot figure it out, it gets frustrating. And everybody in that dugout, spaced 6 feet apart, looking at each other, saying to themselves, what do? We can't score 10 runs a night. What do we possibly do with this kind of a situation, with this kind of pitching staff? And listen, some of this is not on the Red Sox. It's honestly not on the Red Sox, some of it. Nobody knew that Erod was going to get myocarditis, was going to get COVID-19, and that was going to eliminate him for I don't know how long. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Now, going back to last year, the last couple of years, you could have felt like Chris Sale was going to go the wrong way with his issues, and he finally did, finally had the Tommy John, and, you know, now they're without Sale. And they're left with whatever this is. I don't even know what to call this. It's not a starting rotation. I mean, you've got to have more than one legitimate starter to make it a rotation. This is not a starting rotation. This is Nathan Eovaldi and everybody else just kind of thrown together. Flopped him and jets him, just throwing it against the wall. And it's not going to get any better unless they find somebody or a couple of people or three people to help this rotation out. Maybe it's Mike Foltynewicz, who was DFA'd by the Braves earlier tonight. Let's go to Jordan and Sharon, wants to talk about the pitching on Sports Radio WEEI. What's up, Jordan?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going all right.
It's clear to me also that we do not have a starting rotation. And there are some guys out there who have some high upside and would probably sign for low deals, such as Aaron Sanchez, Danny Salazar, who who were all-stars in 2016. And I feel like at this point, we have nothing to lose. Shane Bloom's trying to do what we did with Tampa, but we don't have the bullpen like Tampa does. They had the best bullpen in the league last year. So at this point, I think there's nothing to lose by signing some guys who can sign some prove-it deals and possibly have the same success they had in 2016.
All right, Jordan, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. You know, when you look at what they could do, there's nobody that is out there that is available that will make your heart, you know, pitter-patter with joy, and you'll be doing cartwheels if you land that guy, right? I think we all understand that. Taking a flyer on Fulton Avich, depending on what the Braves are going to be asking for, I think is a deal well worth it. It's well worth it because when you look at him and what he did just last year, I mean, his last 10 starts were fantastic for the Braves. If you can bring a guy in like that and hope that he finds his pitching back and maybe he'll find his velocity. The velocity, I don't know if you can find. Going from 95 to 90 is troublesome. But as Jordan said, look at the options you have right now. I mean, look at these options in this whatever it is, this lineup of random guys that they pick up and throw out there and hope for the best while crossing their fingers. Fulton Avich is better than that. Sanchez might be better than that. But whoever you sign, whoever you bring in, let's not forget, they're going to have to try to attempt to ramp up. And that's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, it's already affecting the game, asking these pitchers to ramp up. Justin Verlander, Kluber. You also had Clayton Kershaw on opening night, hurt his back in the weight room or whatever the hell happened there. And you're going to see more of that. You're going to see more pitchers because they were forced to ramp up early. You got these guys ramping up for 2-3 weeks. They're out there throwing 97 miles an hour. That's a recipe for disaster. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Late night, Sports Radio WEEI with Nick Cattles. Thanks for joining me. I want to jump to some football. I'm afraid that the FCC is going to kick me off the air if I keep going about the Sox because of my frustration. So let me jump to some football, even though the football news might not be the greatest news of all. The COVID-19 pandemic that is affecting everything in sports is, of course, going to affect us in Boston. And we see what's happening right now. The Red Sox rotation, as I just mentioned, with Eduardo Rodriguez, the myocarditis. And now you jump to the Patriots. And we wonder, as NFL camps begin tomorrow, even though they're not going to be out there in pads until about the middle of August, the camp will begin tomorrow, which means guys are walking in, getting tested, and walking out. It's not very exciting at Foxborough, not very exciting at Gillette just yet, but you've got guys showing up. You also have guys opting out. And today, Dan Vitale, fullback, signed from the Packers by the Patriots in the offseason, he decided to opt out. Now, I don't think that's going to be the end-all, be-all, okay? All due respect to Vitale. He's a nice little piece, nice fullback. I know the Patriots love running the football, and we all think they're going to use that strong run game this year and that power run game with Sony Michel and Burkhead and maybe Harris if he actually gets out there for a cup of coffee. But I'm not so worried about Vitale, but there is some rumor and innuendo out there that Marcus Cannon could opt out. And I saw a Pro Football Talk jump on this earlier tonight, and Mike Florio. And I'll tell you what, if Marcus Cannon does opt out, that will significantly impact the Patriots. That could end up being a big problem for this offensive line. I mean, let's start off with Dante Scarnecchia. Dante Scarnecchia retired, as we all know. He's done. He's gone. Remember the last time that happened? Remember when Scar retired the last time? Yeah, it didn't go well. It did not go well for the Pats. So you don't have Scarnecchia. You look at this offensive tackle depth, and my goodness, I would not even use the word depth. They have to hope for something. They've got to hope for Kajusti to be good. They've got to hope for maybe, you know, hitting a home run with the Haran pick late in this year's draft. They've got Cunningham. But Kajusti, Haran, and Cunningham as your backup tackles, you lose Marcus Cannon, and you're going to put one of those three guys out there? Now, I don't know how confident you would be in any of those three individuals. I am certainly not going to be confident in any of those three. And I know Kajusti, he does have some potential. You read about it, guys like Greg Bedard and others, you know, talking about the potential of Kajusti, and he had the injury, and pretty much it was a wasted season last year, and maybe if he can be healthy. But you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have when the bullets start to actually fly. You have no idea. The other two guys, you have no idea. And that's right tackle. That's your right tackle spot. As we know, left tackle, who knows what we got there? Isaiah Wynn, he seems like he could be a good to very good left tackle in the NFL. But can he stay healthy? He's already had injury issues the first couple years. You know, highly touted first round pick, all that good stuff out of Georgia. You know, big athletic offensive lineman, can knock the snot out of people, can move his feet really well, etc., etc., etc. Can he get on the field? And when he gets on the field, can he stay on the field? The best ability is availability. And Wynn's got to be available for 16 games. So you've got Marcus Cannon possibly opting out of the season. You've got all of these unknowns behind him at right tackle. Your left tackle has a history of injury. You have no idea if he's going to be able to give you a full season. All of this is going to be an issue. All of it. And what you have at quarterback, no matter who it is, you got to wonder how you feel with the guys up front if you lose Cannon and if you, God forbid, lose Wynn for any amount of time. Because you either have Cam Newton, who is coming back from multiple injuries. You don't want him behind an offensive line that's banged up. That's the last thing you want. You want Cam Newton coming back from these surgeries and these injuries with two tackles that are question marks? Nobody wants that to happen. Nobody. So you either have Cam with the injury history, or you have a young quarterback in Jarrett Stidham behind an offensive line that could have some holes in it. Not ideal. Not ideal whatsoever. If Marcus Cannon does end up opting out of this season, that's a significant issue for that offensive line. Are there names out there that could help? Well, I do have a couple of names. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. 37937 is the text. You can also hit me up on Twitter, Nick Cattles at Nick C Radio. I will give you some of those names the Patriots might be looking at to help their offensive line. Coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Nick Cattles with you, Sports Radio WEEI, Late Night on a Monday night, just about 10 minutes away from becoming a Tuesday morning. Red Sox lose yet again 7-4 to the Mets. Bad pitching, bad pitching, bad pitching. We'll put a bow on that in a little bit. But let's talk about the Patriots before we had to pay some bills. And I was looking at these rumors about Marcus Cannon. And there are rumors out there saying that Cannon might actually opt out of the 2020 season, which I think would be a significant issue for this Patriots offensive line. I don't think you can stand to lose anybody from this offensive line. And if you're down Cannon before the season even kicks off, that puts even more pressure on Isaiah Wynn to stay healthy. Let's not forget about David Andrews, who had blood clots last year and had to miss the entire season. Shaq Mason was, you know, he's been all right. I think we all understand that Joe Tooney has been their most consistent, best offensive lineman over the past couple of years. But they need Wynn to be healthy this year. If Cannon is out, if he opts out, they need Isaiah Wynn to be healthy. So who's available? Who's out there? You don't want an inexperienced, messy offensive line in front of Cam coming back from injury and surgery, or a young quarterback like Jared Stidham. So who is available? Who is possibly out there for the Patriots? I'll give you a couple of names, okay? I'll start with a guy that I think is likely the most talented guy that is available, and that is Cordy Glenn. Now, Cordy Glenn signed a big contract a couple of years ago with Cincinnati. He had some issues in Cincinnati. He rubbed people the wrong way. He was, you know, suspended or whatever for conduct detrimental to the team. So some people might say, uh-oh, you're going to bring in a guy who's going to be a pain in the ass? Well, listen, Belichick's handled lots of pains in the asses, right? I mean, he's dealt with some attitude issues. He's dealt with some guys who have rubbed people the wrong way. You can go back to Cincinnati, as a matter of fact, with Corey Dillon. So Cordy Glenn is a guy who, you know, he has the potential. He's been the pick. He signed the contract, all that kind of good stuff. He's out there. You also have Donald Penn. Donald Penn played for the Washington football team, the WFTs. What a ridiculous name that is. He played for the WFT last year. Of course, they were without their stud left tackle and Trent Williams, who wanted out and eventually got out going to San Francisco during the draft. But Donald Penn is out there in a blast from the past. Adrian Waddle, I do believe, is also available. So, you know, there are some names out there that you might be able to take advantage of their, situation because of the economics and because of the pandemic. You might be able to take advantage of that kind of situation and bring a guy in. We'll see. We'll see what they do and if they want to address that offensive line. I will almost guarantee you they will do something if Cannon does indeed opt out of this season. It would be big news, I think. Dan Vitale, you can deal with that. You can get by. No offense, Dan. You can get by. Losing Cannon would be pretty big. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. So we started the night with the Red Sox. And, you know, my guy, Will Fleming, in the post game, I give him credit. Glass half full, he says. He's got the glass half full approach after tonight's game. And I just can't stomach the idea of having my glass half full. And it is what it is, as Bill Belichick would say. This pitching staff is awful. It has been awful. They're just not good enough. And Xander Bogaerts in the postgame sounding frustrated. He's had enough. I think everybody watching this team four games in has had enough. You know, I saw a Fitzy tweet after the game tonight, and Fitzy made a point about, I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, it was great. It went from, man, we got quarantine life and we got baseball back in our lives to like, oh man, it's like, this is like shame watching. Like we got to deal with watching this pitching staff. Their lineup is fine. I mean, Benintendi hasn't been good. He's got to be better. Devers has not been good. He's got to be better. But all in all, this lineup is fine. This lineup's okay. This lineup is going to score runs. This team can also defend. I mean, Devers has not been good at third base. Couple errors already. Error tonight, throwing yet again. I thought Mitch Moreland could have helped him out by scooping it at first. He didn't. So another error on Devers. If Devers is not getting the bat going and he's having these fielding issues, this might gather steam down the hill of a short season, and Devers might take a half a step back if he doesn't get going here. I think he will. He's way too talented. But this lineup, this lineup is not the question. The defense is not going to be the question. It's this pitching staff. And I don't know how you can watch anybody through the first four games of this season starting a game for the Red Sox, aside from Nathan Eovaldi, and feel good about anything from what you saw. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can feel confident in anything. And I'm sure none of you do. And you shouldn't feel confident. You shouldn't feel good. Maybe they'll make a move. Maybe it'll be Mike Foltynewicz, DFA'd by the Braves. Maybe it'll be somebody else. Somebody, anybody. Zach Godley was good tonight. Give that dude a start. Four innings, four hits, no runs, no walks, seven Ks. Give that guy a start. Captain Ron. Hey, Captain Ron. Yeah, Captain Ron. Give that guy a start. He deserved it. Thanks to Josh for producing the program tonight. Man, 1 hour of radio just flies by. Red Sox lose 7-4. They play the Mets tomorrow night in game two. I will be back tomorrow night as well. Another late night shift for me. Nick Cattles, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.